I'd like to add to it, which is true 100%, the 10%, but I want to bring something practical. Abraham was not told. Abraham did it. And he gave. He responded. There was a response toward Melchizedek. And we've been sitting all day up to now. And I wonder, out of the result of such a conference, when the greatness of the Lord Jesus is presented before us, where am I in relation to giving? To giving what's rightfully His. I'm not going to talk only about the spoil, but just to bring it home to us, in light of the greatness of His person, how I'm going to respond to God after this conference. I'm going to go leave these doors and everything is forgotten, and the young people are going to have fun, and the conference is over, thank God. Is that a kind of response that we might have? Or another response I might have is respond to Melchizedek the way Abraham responded to him. But our Melchizedek is none other but the Lord Jesus. So we have time to give, whether giving praises to His name. Tomorrow is Lord's Day if the Lord kept us here. How am I going to respond to the love of the Lord Jesus and to Him being the Melchizedek, the true Melchizedek, and the greatness of His person? It's a challenging thought for each one of us.
This giving is really an act of worship, isn't it?
Yes.
And we find later in Hebrews that this is, don't forget to do these sacrifices, to do good and to give of your substance. So the Lord is looking for a response, not only from our lips, but also from our wallets. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad that we think of giving financially as a burden. Anything we have, everything we have, is the Lord's. And He's not restricting us to 10%. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament are we restricted. I put the word restricted because we think that's a burden, to 10%.
I like the word.
You know, restricted. But we can give 50%. We can give 15%. You know, there's no law. So it is a response from the heart in our appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Just add that Abraham was not commanded, but in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, this is a commandment that was brought out earlier by Brother Steve, that this was required because this was the inheritance of the Levitical priesthood. This is how they carried on in their livelihood. The Lord isn't looking for this. He doesn't need our 10%. He's just saying, wants to see our response.
But before even Abraham gave Melchizedek the tenth, Melchizedek gave him bread and wine. Yes. And that is really what it is. When the heart is taking up with Him, as we said, it's all His. But I think again, the idea in chapter 7 in regard to the greatness of Christ, in that Melchizedek received the 10% or the tenth from Abraham, it is the principle of association again. Was Levi associated with Abraham? So when Abraham offered the tenth, Levi did the same thing. Aaron did the same thing. That's exactly the principle of association. People say, well, I didn't do anything. I wasn't in the garden when I sinned. No, you were. You were. That's exactly the same thing. Levi could say, or Aaron could say, well, I wasn't there when Melchizedek was appearing and Abraham gave him thing. The scripture, he'll tell me the principle of association. It's right there. I was there in the garden when Adam sinned. Just as I was there on the cross when the Lord Jesus bore my sins away, and Aaron was there when Abraham offered the tenth. And the whole idea again, it is the greater one that received that. And therefore, Melchizedek is greater than Aaron. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is greater than Aaron.
The idea of the tithes to remind us that we are priests.
Yeah.
We have to give. So actually we are priests and kings, and this is very unusual for the people in the Old Testament, as we heard. Nobody combined the two titles, but we are priests and kings. And as a forerunner, He entered to heaven before us. When we will be at heaven, we will continue to hold the same title, us also. We will be priests and kings, and that's a privilege, and we should use it to give and worship.
Note also that there is a change in verse 11 of chapter 17, where Chapter 7? First level. That is a change.
Yeah.
Because it says, if therefore perfection were by Levitical priesthood, or under it the people received the law, what further need was there? That nothing that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek. And then we see in verse 12 that because the priest worshiped, the law had to change. So in that sense, we see also that, you know, as our brethren were mentioning earlier on, we can't really limit ourselves to a tenth of giving. And as we mentioned, Abraham gave also, and we need to really give from our hearts. Yeah.
Verse 11 also brings into view the superiority of the Melchizedek priesthood in contradistinction to the Aaronic priesthood that, as you pointed out, never, that had an end. Death brought in an end. There was nothing to be continued in the Aaronic priesthood, but in the Melchizedek priesthood that makes it very superior, it's an indissoluble life.
Is that why at the end of the chapter when he offers himself up, it doesn't mention death? It emphasizes the Aaronic priesthood died, but in there he offered himself up freely, but it's not in connection with death, although we know it is.
Right. And that's really the greatness of himself in that office. Because in the Old Testament, you are either the priest, the offerer, or the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He was the priest, the offer, or the sacrifice, and the offerer. He offered himself up. Again, the greatness of his person, the thought of death is not there to end his priesthood, but really he lives in the power of the endless life.
So when you come to verse 12, there is that the old priesthood changes, but in verse 24, his unchangeable priesthood. His priesthood will never change. Nobody's going to take it over. When Aaron died, his son took it over. There were others that took it over. But in his priesthood, it will never change. And that's a theme in the Epistle to the Hebrews. His name is the same. Thou art the same. And the end of Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love never changes. His priesthood never changes. And that again brings us to the greatness of his person. How come that priesthood will never change? Because no one will be worthy ever to occupy this place. Because he took it up, not only because of what he has done, but he also took it up in the dignity of his person, of who he is. And that's why it will never change, would remain on the same line.
And I was just thinking as you're saying that, because in the Aaronic priesthood, one depending on the support of Aaron, or any of the high priests at that time, and they die. And what happens about that support? The support ends. But the beauty of what we have in Melchizedek is that it's unending. So there is the support that we can be guaranteed will go all the way through to eternity.
In fact, that's verse 25.
Yeah, 24
you see that.
And 25.
And the way the King James words that is interesting, because the last phrase says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, which is as if, in my mind, that the reason he lives is to make intercession for them. Now, I would not necessarily agree with that full-heartedly. When you read it in the Darby, I think it's a little more helpful. It's very small in my Bible, so give me a second here. It says, always living to intercede for them. So as he's living, he's interceding. Yeah. Now he has life just because he's God. He doesn't have eternal life just so he can bless us. It's our benefit that he has this endless life so we can be blessed over and over and over again.